Last week, we studied Revelation 17. It described the destruction of the city of Babylon. During the last days of man's existence, there will only be one capital city. There will be no more capital cities, such as what we know today. There will be no more capital city for Japan, none for America, none for Britain, none for any other nation, because everyone will be subsumed or completely destroyed and be replaced by only one capital city, and that was Babylon. And God had destroyed Babylon as described in Revelation 17, but in Revelation 18, God described the reaction of the people to this news that Babylon had been destroyed. If you were given the news that New York or Washington or Tokyo had been destroyed, unless you are a citizen of these countries, you and I will view it very objectively because it does not affect us too much. However, if you are told that the city of Singapore is destroyed, there was a cloud of atomic particles hanging over the whole island, rendering the whole city unlivable, completely destroyed, you may feel differently because you have families, you have loved ones, but more so if this is the capital city, the nation, the country that you depend on for your very existence. Then your sorrow and your weeping will be disastrous. It will be seen, as you can see in this chapter. It is the reaction and response to the news that Babylon is gone forever. It is one thing to say to the Lord, we love him. It is a totally different thing when by our lives, by our reaction to the trials and difficulties of life, it will reveal the true kind of heart that we have. God is not interested in what we say or what we feel without backing up with what we live, how we live. Our reaction to the destruction of the capital city of the Antichrist will reveal. Because the capital cities of our age, of our time, are similar to the capital city of the Antichrist, that is Babylon. The only difference is, one is the capital of the whole earth. The others are just capital of individual nations. But the makeup and the characteristic and the attributes of these cities are all the same. No difference. The reason is because Satan is the prince of this world. And so from verse 1 to verse 8, as we are told of the final completion or the end of the rule of man on this earth, God described for us the makeup or the nature of Babylon to tell us why Babylon must be destroyed permanently. There will be no resurrection. Many of these nations have been destroyed in the past by other superpowers that rose to supremacy. They have been destroyed but not completely removed from the face of this earth. Many of them still remain, such as Babylon, replaced by the Medes and the Persians. Babylon is still around today. It's modern-day Iraq. When the Greeks took over the Medo-Persian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire still remained, and that is Iran. And when the Romans took over the Grecian superpower, the Greece still remained. It is now the news because of its internal bankruptcy and its financial economic problems. And when the Romans were replaced by the British, the Romans are still in existence. But when God said Babylon is destroyed, it is a permanent, forever destruction. It will never rise again. There will be no more human rule on earth other than the rule of Jesus Christ, the God-man. Chapter 17 is the final chapter of man's existence on this earth from the time of Adam and Eve. That is how momentous and significant that chapter is. Do you realize that? The whole earth as we know it will cease to exist. Chapter 17 is a description of the final hour. Because this world of ours will look to Babylon during those great tribulation period, where Jesus says will last only 7 years. The whole world will look to Babylon for survival, for its very existence. It is as if they will see Babylon as the kingdom of heaven on earth, because that was the deception, the delusion of the Antichrist, energized by Satan. And God revealed to us that the heart and soul of Babylon is such as He will describe for us in verse 1 and verse 8. And that's why God was left with no choice but the complete and total annihilation and permanent destruction of Babylon. No choice. He has to do it. Look at what God described for us. After these things, after the destruction of the bricks and mortars of the city, chapter 16 described the destruction and the punishment of the Antichrist by the plagues that God will send through the vile judgments. And then chapter 17 described the destruction of the bricks and mortars so that it can never be used ever again to deceive the world and to promote idolatry. And then chapter 18, it will describe the response and reaction of the followers of the Antichrist to the city's destruction. Now, watch. I saw another angel. Now, this another means another of the same kind, the same angel that are mentioned in chapter 17, verse 1. One of the seven angels. So these are the good angels, not the bad angels, not the fallen angels. And they come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was illuminated, that is, lightened with his glory, the glory of this angel. And he cried mightily with a strong voice. So he will be the one who will give the clarion call to the whole earth. Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit. The hold there means the prison, the cage, similar to the same word that is in the next phrase, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. In other words, Babylon is destroyed for what she stands for. It is nothing but a citadel for the house and the home of all sorts of demonic activities. And you will realize that this is a good picture of all the capital cities, Singapore not excluded. You look at the cities of this earth of ours. We see the glamour and the glittering buildings. We see these as the heart and soul of economic wealth and power. That's how many people look at cities such as Tokyo, London, and New York. Because the stock exchange are all found in these big cities where the world breathes through the heartbeat of these cities, isn't it? As far as the economic well-being of the world is concerned. That's the heartbeat. When they beat strong, the world is happy. When they are not beating well, the world is sad, because the world looked to these cities for her survival. That's how intertwined all nations of the world have become. We have no choice, but this is the reality that we are living in. And so the whole world looked to these cities. And one day, all these cities will collapse, and all will be gravitated, and all will be centralized in one city, and that will be Babylon, the capital city of the Antichrist, because he will solve the whole world's problem. Remember what Revelation 13 tells us, without the mark of the beast, you cannot buy, you cannot sell. So it will become the center of the world's existence. And remember, we live in this mortal body. This mortal body depends on this world, this earth, to survive. We need the food and the water of this earth to survive. And if it is controlled by the Antichrist through her capital city, that means he will control our physical well-being. And so those who comply, those who bow their knees to the Antichrist, They are going to be made wealthy, they're going to be made rich. And those who are risen to powers and who will rule and reign with the Antichrist, they're going to make lots of money through their association with the Antichrist, because he will be given absolute power for the next 7 years. And he will be energized by the dragon, the serpent, to do miracles, to counter the judgments of God, the trumpet judgments and the bow judgments. That's why the world will continue to look up to him, no matter how devastating the world will be destroyed by God. This will be the spiritual warfare that you and I will be able to see with our naked eyes. Right now, the spiritual warfare cannot be seen with our naked eyes. But when the last few moments of man's existence on earth is on the line, it will be visible. It will be seen by the whole world. And our Heavenly Father revealed this to us in advance, because God does not want his own children to be caught ignorant, caught sleeping. You and I must know that this description is guaranteed to take place. And this is how God described Babylon. It is the home of demons. It is the prison of every foul spirit that you could think of. It is the prison of every unclean and hateful bird. These are all the unclean birds, figuratively speaking. It describes all sorts of great immorality, all sorts of evil, wickedness, sin, debauchery that you could ever think of. This is the heartbeat. This is the source from which all this evil will emanate. This was it. And you watch. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of the fornication. All nations means all nations. Singapore not excluded. Please understand this. Our beloved country will become part of this. Every other nation that you and I see and understand today that hold on to its own sovereignty will soon collapse. And they will kowtow to this central figure with his concentrated power in his capital city. And they will just simply bow down and they will drink in until they're all full of the wine of the wrath of the fornication. They will. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with it. Now, of course, this is spiritual. You cannot commit actual sexual fornication with the city, right? It's not a person. But when it comes to idolatry, this is exactly what it means. Spiritual fornication, idolatry, because they will bow down to the Antichrist as if he is God. Remember, add all the previous chapters together. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Consecutively revealed to us by God, slowly unfolding, describing the deeds of the evil one, started from chapter 12. The world from Satan's perspective. Remember? This is God's end of this rule of the evil one. This is God's determined end. The merchants of the earth are wax rich through the abundance of her delicacy, you see? The word merchants there will be mentioned again in verse 11. It will be mentioned again in verse 15. The word kings will be mentioned again in verse 9, because it will describe their response and their reaction. Because these kings and these merchants have leapt on, dependent upon the capital city of the Antichrist for their wealth and their riches and their business. The word merchants is where we get the English word emporium. You know emporium? Seldom used today. In the past, means 30, 40 years ago. In the past, right? Emporium. Very common word. Emporium means wholesalers, not retailers. These are tradesmen, these are wholesalers, whereby they buy in great bulk. And then they will sell to the retailers. This is the emphasis. These are the people who will deal a lot of money, a lot of goods with the Antichrist. Big businessmen, in other words, wholesalers, where the rest of the retailers will depend upon them for their goods and for their trade and for their existence. We're not talking about the retailers. These are the small end users. They are the buyers, and then the people who buy from the retailers. These are the heart and soul of every retailer, the wholesalers. And all of them have made themselves very wealthy and rich. Wax rich. The word wax there is the same kind of idea that the Lord used to describe his wax angry, wax very angry with Israel when Moses came down and he saw the golden calf. So the word wax there means very deep, very, very, very rich. And you look at our world today, we all are interested in knowing who is the richest man on earth, whose names are in Forbes, books of the most wealthy on earth, right? There is nobody interested who are the poorest men on earth. So there is no Forbes poorest man on earth. Only riches, right? The richest man on earth, we are all interested. And see who is going to be the next kingpin, right? This is the way of our world, and we are all caught up in this kind of mentality and notion. And so they think that the more money you have, the more billions you have, the more trillions you have, the more successful you are. This is the ploy of the Antichrist, and kings and merchants have been sucked into this, just like people today are sucked into this system. And so most of the people on planet Earth, they are all climbing this pile of so-called money, grabbing as much as they could, thinking that if I have the big bulk of it, I have arrived. My future is secured. And so they look to these cities for the security of their future. And so you buy into their stocks, you buy into their shares, and Christians sadly are not exempted. You can get easily caught up whereby you cease to lean on Christ, you lean on the counsels of men. They tell you how to buy, how to sell, when to buy, when to sell. And you think that if I can increase my million to the 10 million, then my future will be safe and secure. It's no more in the hands of God. My future now is in my own wisdom, my own counsel, and in my mighty dollar. That was a deception. And God said that people, kings and merchants have been deceived by this capital city. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. The voice is still very relevant today. Don't have to wait until the great day of the great tribulation. Right now, come out of her, my people. Just as it was needful in those days, come out of her, my people. That means get out. You have not had the mark of the beast. Don't remain in that city. Get out. Don't have anything to do with this city. Come out. You and I must realize this in the present. Get out of New York. Get out of all these cities. Sure, you can make business. You can do business. But never allow your heart to be in the business. A very fine line, but a very important line to draw. You look at them as people in need of the Savior. There are many people who are in the stocks and shares who need a godly Christian who is in that kind of line to share with them the gospel. Every profession needs a godly Christian as long as that profession is not anti-biblical. They need to see Christ in the lives of Christians. So you go there not to make money, you go there to be a godly witness, to share the gospel with them before the Lord returns, and they all will be condemned to hell. That is your business. That is your only business on this earth. Nothing else. If you think that you need the world to keep body and soul together, then you don't know what it means to be a Christian. You think God needs water and food to keep us alive? You think God is so small that He's dependent upon His own creation to keep us alive? Have you so soon forgotten what God did for Moses up on Mount Sinai, 40 days and 40 nights? You know how many times Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights throughout his life? Four times. 40 days and 40 nights, four times. Do you know that? Twice up on Mount Sinai, once at the foot of Mount Sinai, and another time when the 12 spies came back and 10 of them said, we cannot enter the promised land. Moses had to intercede for them again 40 days and 40 nights. And how did God keep Moses alive for 40 days and 40 nights without food, without water? Supernaturally. Sure, generally speaking, God may use water and food to keep us alive. But God is not dependent upon water and food to keep us alive. You and I must understand that it is God and God alone who keeps us alive. Sometimes He may use water and food. He is not bound by it. Please don't ever forget the power of God Almighty. Sure, you eat, you drink. But there will be times when you cannot eat, you cannot drink, you do not have food, you do not have water, as was the case in the Great Tribulation. Then they will experience truly that it is God and God alone who keeps us alive. God can use water and food, but He is not bound by it. Please understand this today. That's why God said to His people, "My people, come out of her, get out, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues." You are God's children. You have to get out. You don't be part of it. Don't have anything to do with them. In the world, but not of the world. Big, big difference. Sure, we live in a world where there are a lot of sinners. That's how we need to witness to them. But you never partake of their lifestyle. You never partake of their way of life. You never partake of their principles, their carnal, worldly philosophies for existence. You cannot allow that to happen. The moment you cross the line, you may truly be born again. Do you know what you will lose, right? Your physical life. We have studied that before. Your physical life is crucial, is very important. For one thing, it is limited. How many more years you have on earth? Only the Lord knows. And those few years that you have on earth, use them for God's glory. Don't use them anymore for the accumulation of what you know will be destroyed by God. You don't need to depend upon gold and silver for your existence. Don't you believe that Jesus Christ is all that you need? That leaning on Jesus Christ is far better than leaning on your own bank account? Because your bank account is in the hands of sinful, wicked men. One moment your dollar can buy you so much, the next moment your dollar can't even buy you anything, right? This is called inflation. These are all evidence that the world has been telling us. God allowed these things to happen to open our eyes. You can't trust in dollars and cents. Oh, you think that you can invest now in gold, invest in diamonds, invest in properties. Well, properties are better than putting our money in the bank and so on and so forth. Invest all you want, but never put your heart in them. And very often, when you invest like that, you cross the line and you don't even know it. God says, get out of this system. Don't have anything to do with this system because it's going to destroy your life, your testimony, your physical life. If you're truly born again, you will not have the mark of the beast, but that does not mean that you will not compromise and become part of this. Because there will be believers whose works will be wood, hay, and stubble. And God says, I don't want any of my children to have actions on this earth that will result in wood, hay, and stubble where I will have to burn it up. I want all my children whose works and life on this earth to be made of gold, silver, precious stone. When the fire of God will test it, it will remain pure. It will not be destroyed. That's what God wants of all of us. Don't waste your physical life, please. It is precious for this very purpose to be a godly witness to a world that is in sin and darkness. They need to hear Christ. They need to see Christ in your life urgently. Will you do it? The people closest to you will be your own family members. They are the first one that you must be most concerned with, that they must see Christ in your life. Every father, every mother, your children need to see Christ in your life. Do you understand what that means? Because their salvation is in your hands. Don't say, well, God elected them. Yes, God may have elected them, but God wants to use you to be the one to bring them to Christ. God does not want you to be the stumbling block that will point them away from Christ. Don't you distort the doctrine of election. The doctrine of election is not an excuse for us not to live a holy life. It's not an excuse for us not to give the gospel. The doctrine of election is only for believers to encourage them, to tell them that your salvation is not an afterthought. That's what it's for. Not for us to use it any wrong way. Not to fulfill the Great Commission, not to live a holy life. That is not the purpose of the election that God has revealed to us, to tell us that your salvation is precious to God, that God cares for you, that God knows of your existence even before you know of His existence. That's the beauty of the doctrine of election, to secure our salvation, because God knows that very often our salvation will be attacked and we begin to doubt our salvation. Get out of this city. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. When the sins are full, God will punish. God will unleash His wrath, as God has revealed through the trumpet judgments and through the vow judgments. Don't have anything to do with the things of this world that will compromise your faith and your testimony. And so, The angel says, reward her even as she rewarded you, double unto her, double according for her works, in the cup which she had filled, fill to her double. In other words, punish her to the fullest. Don't let Babylon remain because of the evil and the wickedness and the deception that this city had done. Imagine pretending to be the Antichrist, whereby he is pretending to be Christ, but actually he's the Antichrist. You know how many millions have been deceived? It is not a joke, it is not a game to deceive men, women, and children. And then they can think that they are truly born again, but when they die, they end up in hell. There are many forms of deception, but this will be the worst. People deceive us to cheat us of money, right? Time and time again, you go into the world, there are all sorts of people who will deceive you. But what you lose is only money. You can make your money back. But we are not talking about money, we are talking about the souls of men, women and children forever in the hell itself, in the lake of fire. Do you know what that means? No getting out. These false pastors, false apostles, false teachers, this is exactly what they are doing today, and it will culminate in the great Antichrist, the deceiver of all deceivers. And that's why the angel says, pay her double. Fill her the way that she has filled the world with her lies. Fill her with the judgment of God. Fill her double. Punish her for all that she has done, for the millions of souls and lives that she will lead to hell and the lake of fire. This is what we are fighting against. You can do so much for the Lord's sake, for the souls of men, women, and children who are outside Christ. Don't you love the Lord? Don't you care for the souls of sinners who will end up in the lake of fire? Are you not a burden? Are you not prepared to be like the Apostle Paul, to be a slave to everyone, so that by your submission, by your removal of all your personal rights, so that by your life and testimony, God can use you to save some? That was the heart and soul of the Apostle Paul. No pride, only great humility. Husbands, wives quarrel, nobody wants to forgive. Nobody wants to make the first move and say, I am sorry, please forgive me. Why? Pride. Pride for what? Your big name? Are we not dead in Christ? Is our name not subsumed under the name of Jesus Christ, where we don't exist anymore? Where people are supposed to see Christ in us, no more me? And now you hold on to your pride? The head of the family is the man. And if the spiritual health of the family is in jeopardy, it must be the man who will take the first move, make the first move toward reconciliation, and fix the spiritual heartbeat of the family. It is your responsibility, it is your charge, given by God. Babylon must be destroyed. How much she had glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. That was her boast. Nobody can destroy Babylon. She is the queen. She is the city of all cities. She will never be a widow, never be destroyed. This was her boast. That's why, God, you must destroy her. You cannot let her resurrect or come back again. And therefore shall her plagues come in one day, very fast, within one day all will be gone. Death, mourning, famine, she shall be utterly burned with fire. Why? For strong is the Lord God who judges her. Babylon is characterized by sin. All the capital cities of the world are the same today. The only difference is one is not so obvious, that is today, very, very covert. Whereas in the last days, it will be very overt, open for the whole world to see. No more cover up, no more subtlety. It will be open. This is going to be the heartbeat of every form of evil, every form of idolatry. All will congregate and center in Babylon. And all these capital cities are just a mirror image of the big one. That's how every Christian must look at Singapore. Every Christian must look at every major city of the world. It's no different. There is no such thing as a Christian nation, please. Who ever told you that America was a Christian nation? No such thing. God did not replace the nation of Israel as his godly witness with another nation. Remember Acts 2? God replaced the national witness of Israel with the local church. Not another nation. So there's no such thing as a Christian nation. If you ever think that there is a Christian nation, then that is an unbiblical proposal. God never did and never had and never will. He replaced it with the local church, not with another national witness. Please understand that. It will never happen, because then God will go against his own teaching of God's word. The local church was the one that replaced the national witness. That's us. The capital city, its nature is described. The action or the reaction of the inhabitants are given to us from verse 9 to verse 19. Your action and reaction to the destruction of your wealth will reveal whether you love Christ or the world. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, make a lot of money out of her, shall bewail her. So they cry. Because now the source of our wealth is gone. Lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. And they stand afar off for the fear of her torment. They dare not join in, they dare not go in and be destroyed. But they can mourn and they cry. What do they cry? Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. What did they cry? Selfish reasons. The heartbeat and the source of our wealth is gone. It's no more now. That's why they cry. You're going to cry for Singapore for the same reason? You cry when your bank that you put your money in collapsed and now all your money gone? You cry? Would you cry or not? Would you cry if the stocks and shares collapse in Europe? You cry? Or are you going to rejoice and dance for joy? Yay! Very good! Crash some more! Are you going to cry? Because a lot of your money is there? You're going to cry? You've been living on stocks and shares and now everything all collapsed? You're going to cry? No, they are crying. Your reaction will reveal the kind of heart that you have. Don't say, oh, I love you, Lord. Don't say these kind of things. Your reaction to these things will tell you, will tell the Lord whether you love him or not. Whether you really lean on Christ or on your mighty dollar or on your stocks and shares. Your response or reaction will reveal it. When the people attack God's word, when the people attack the name of Christ, you never even cried one teardrop. You didn't even make one sound of regret. Rise to the occasion to defend. But when your money disappears, when the bank that you have put all your life savings in collapse, you cry so much. Is that not true? That goes to show where our heart is, isn't it? Because when God's word is destroyed, when God's word is attacked, we don't say anything. We keep quiet. When our own material things are destroyed and collapsed, we cry so much. True? That goes to show which one we love more. Same thing as you ask your wife, whether the husband loves her more or loves the car more. You ask her. You see, when she gets banged blue-black, you see whether he cries or not. When the car gets banged, you see how he reacts. The car, no blue-black, but got a boom, one big hole inside there. You see whether he cried or not. Because he knows the time, the money, you got blue-black. Blue-black, never mind, blue-black is okay. You see what happens. Whether there's a dent on the wife and a dent on the car, see how he responds. Don't hear, oh, I love you, darling, I love you. Yeah, sure, you love me. Your reaction will tell a whole lot, and your wife will know, isn't it, wife? Correct? Not correct. Wives? You watch and see. Of course, you don't go and test it. I'm going to bang the car and then bang yourself. Same one, when you, darling, the car got banged. See what he asked first. Are you hurt? How bad is the car? You see which one he asked first. He will tell you, he will reveal. Now I told the husband, I know how to answer already. When must come from the heart, isn't it? How you respond and react. The merchants, the wholesalers now, you see, one by one. Now the kings who depended on her, now the merchants who depended on her. Same thing, they shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. You see, cannot buy anymore. The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple and silk, scarlet, dyeing wood. You know what it is? Dyeing wood? Dyeing wood means fragrant ornamental wood, the kind of very expensive wood that they use for all sorts of carvings and expensive decoration pieces. All manner of vessels of ivory, all manners of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass and iron and marble, cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, bees, sheep, horses, chariots, slaves, souls of men, everything that today we called luxury goods, right? All these what? Odors, ointments, frankincense, we call perfume now. Isn't it true? Expensive perfume, one small little bottle, $500-$600, I think, I don't know, maybe more. True? All those nice fine linen, you know a fine linen, right? Expensive clothes, all those that end with ni, you know, from Italy, la. Armani, don't know what, ni, la. Right, correct? One suit, few thousand dollars, isn't it true? Made in China, but still few thousand dollars. Is it not true or not? And then people will buy it, and then one tie, 900. One handkerchief, 500. Don't know why a handkerchief, 500. Maybe you wipe your mouth, it's still the handkerchief, but anyway, 500. But people buy. Correct? See, same thing. You see all the gold, silver, all those jewelry shop. People invest in all these things. So the merchant says, you see, all these gone now. And the fruit that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. Verse 14. And all things which were dainty, that is very, very sumptuous and goodly, that is very gorgeous, are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. They are crying because they cannot make money out of Babylon anymore. And the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off like the kings for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and say the same song. Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Remember? Last chapter? The capital city of New Jerusalem, gold, pearls, precious stone, the copycat. So this was the image that Babylon presented to the whole world. This is the citadel of wealth, pomp, and glory, and luxurious goods. It's all gone now. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off. And then they cried, they saw the smoke of her burning, and they say, what city is like unto this great city? No more. And they cast dust on their heads, and they cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. The same song as the kings. They wept and they cried, because the very source of their wealth and their luxurious goods are all gone forever. Their reaction, they cried. But what did God say? Look at the next verse. What does the next verse say? Rejoice! Eh? How come rejoice? Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and thy holy apostles and prophets. That means for Christians. You should rejoice. So your action and reaction will be key. That's why when we talk about New York and all these hardness citadels of evil and wickedness, because that's exactly what they are. Because they present to the whole world that the more money you make, the greater, the better you are, right? Same kind of message sent out by this. You think these people who live in these powerful high places, you think they are morally very upright and righteous? You think they are not full of sin and debauchery and drunkenness? No different from Babylon. Remember, the difference is only the scale. These are all national. Babylon is global. That's all. One is more subtle, the other one is more open. That's all. But they are the same. And that's why when these cities fall apart, when these cities collapse, as Christians, you rejoice. That's what God asks us to do. You rejoice over her destruction because the justice of God has fallen, and now this kind of places that have deceived so many millions of people will now deceive no more. That's why Christians should rejoice in the destruction of these kind of places that have been used by the evil one for sin. The Christian should rejoice. You should not be saddened. You should rejoice. For God had avenged you on her. And the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, cast into the sea. Thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Completely covered by the ocean, collapsed, gone forever. Never to rise from the surface of the earth ever again. Never. The world is full of wicked people. And when they rule cities, their wickedness will rule and dominate. No difference. Throughout the ages, it had always been the same. Please understand that. And even for the godly nation of Israel, when kings are evil and wicked, in spite of God giving to them the temple, the word of God, the priesthood, the prophets, were they not more bad kings than good kings? And that is for the nation of Israel who had the word of God. How much more Gentile nations, isn't it? How much more? Look at our world with God's eyes. This is how God sees the world. We are nothing but beasts in the eyes of God, killing people just to make ourselves rich. That's what beasts do. That's how God looks at us. Don't look at man from man's eyes. Man will see man with different eyes. They will say how great a conqueror he is. Look at his monuments. Look at this, look at that. The accomplishments of this king, that king. Patting each other on the back in deception and delusion. But not God. God says, this is how I look at the kingdom of man. And this is the greatest of man's empire, isn't it? But to God, it is the worst of all the worst. And God says, it will be destroyed. The voice of harpers, musicians, pipers, trumpeters shall be heard no more at all to deceive. No more craftsmen, so that they will do no more craft, no more construction, and found any more in thee. And the sound of millstones shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall shine no more. God will switch off the light of man permanently. The nature of the capital city described from verse 1 to verse 8. The action and the reaction to the destruction of the capital city described in verse 9 to verse 19. And the action and reaction from God described from verse 20 to 24. God will turn off the light of man's rule on earth for the last time. Never to be turned on again. Because after this will be the millennium. And after the millennium, this whole earth will be destroyed. It will be the new heaven and new earth where saints will live with Christ for eternity. This is what awaits every Christian. And do you know why? You look at the last verse. For in her, that is Babylon, was found the blood of prophets, the blood of saints, the blood of all that were slain upon the earth. This is the evil nature of man's rule and man's empire. This world is not your friend, Christians. If you see the world as your friend and you're going to make friend with this world, then God says, the love of the Father is not in you. Because the world loves you. Because the world hates Christ. And if you are a child of God and you are a Christian and you live like Christ, for Christ, then the world will hate you too, just as it hated Christ. Because Christ is in you. The world has not changed for the better. In fact, it will get worse and worse, as you can see in the closing chapters of the book of Revelation, which describe the closing chapters of man's existence. Let us open our eyes. Let us pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes that we may see that this world is not our home. It cannot be our home. This is a place of ministry and service. Our home awaits us in heaven. And before the Lord calls us home, let us serve Him, because now is the only time where we can serve Him in order to turn sinners into saints. Because in heaven, it will be a different kind of service. Not to witness turning sinners into saints anymore, because there are no sinners, only saints in heaven. But right now on this earth, that's the only time. Don't waste it. The only time. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, out of thy holy word. Open our eyes that we may see this earth the way that the Lord himself sees this earth. A world full of sin, wickedness, evil, and debauchery. May God's children come out and not become part of this world, which we know will be destroyed in the last days because of her idolatry, her fornication, and the great sin of deception that she would spin, where the world would drink in and be drunk by her evil and her wickedness. O Lord, open the eyes of all your saints, that we may live on this earth as strangers and sojourners, never as citizens. For we know that our home is in heaven, and this is a time of service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May we do so for Jesus' sake, and may we begin at home to our loved ones, especially for parents to our own children, that our children may come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ at the earliest age possible, and then onward to our Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth, that others may also be given the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way that we live, O Lord, may thou sanctify every child of thine by thy truth, for thy word is truth. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.